Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. It's election season, and early voting for the November midterm elections have already started in many states. Today, we are going to focus on female candidates running for elected office. Is a woman running for a seat on your tribal council this year? What about state office or Congress? If women's voices are important in our government, what would it take to get more women to run for these positions? Is running for office different for women? Stay with us and share your thoughts right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Voting rights advocates say a satellite polling place is coming to Wambli. The small town on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota has become a contentious point over equal access to the polls for Native Americans in this election. Charles Michael Ray has more.
Early voting and registration booths are available in the Jackson County seat of Kadoka. But the larger town of Wambli, some 25 miles south, wasn't allowed a similar option, and Native American voting rights advocates cried foul. They filed a federal lawsuit alleging violations of the Voting Rights Act. O.J. Siemens with the group Four Directions says the county has now agreed to open a polling place in Wambli. He says Native people on the eastern edge of the Pine Ridge Reservation will now have the same opportunity to vote as other Jackson County residents.
If you look at how the makeup is for the House seat, Senate seat, county commissioners, auditor, you don't see any Indians. And by being able to know that you can have the same amount of days to vote as other people off reservation, it increases the chance of having more Indian candidates.
Siemens says federal funds through the Help America Vote Act should reimburse the county for the cost of opening the satellite voting office in Wambli. He says a similar satellite voting place is also opening in Eagle Butte on the Cheyenne River Reservation. An effort to get more Native people to the polls is underway across South Dakota. October 20th is the last day someone can register to vote to take part in the November 4th election. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
The Great Lakes Intertribal Council in Wisconsin has been awarded more than $4 million over the next 5 years for chronic disease prevention projects. WXPR's Natalie Jablonski reports.
The federal grant comes from the Center for Disease Control. It will fund consultations and trainings with 34 tribes in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan, plus four urban Indian health centers. Great Lakes Intertribal Council epidemiologist Isaiah Brokenleg says the region's tribes carry a heavy burden of chronic disease.
It's also reducing years of productive life. You know, people's ability to walk, people's ability to go to work, and just to have a good quality of life. And one of the unfortunate things is that many of these diseases are preventable.
Beginning next year, the Great Lakes Intertribal Epidemiology Center will also be awarding grants to a few individual tribes that apply to address health issues like tobacco exposure or obesity. Brokenleg says the organization will be looking for projects that have been developed from within the community they're trying to serve.
Sometimes I think what happens far too often is there's an intervention that might work in a big city or in a non-Indian community, and then they, you know, stick some feathers on it, and they, you know, try and just do a scaled-down version and do it in a rural community, and it's not successful. And often it's because they didn't really start with the rural community to begin with.
The grant to the Great Lakes Intertribal Epidemiology Center totals $850,000 per year for 5 years. For National Native News, I'm Natalie Jablonski.
Federal, state, and tribal representatives toured Santa Clara Canyon in New Mexico this week to see firsthand the cleanup and restoration efforts being conducted by the Pueblo of Santa Clara. According to the tribe, federal aid has been granted to restore the canyon from wildfires and flooding threats. The tribe worries homes could be flooded due to the loss of vegetation and natural barriers. Indian educators from across the country are in Anchorage, Alaska this week. They're focusing on advocacy, resources, programs, and other Native education issues at the National Indian Education Association's annual convention. Tune in to National Native News next week to hear from attendees. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
If you are a Native American, there's one simple thing you can do to help your elders, help young people seeking an education, and help develop Native business. Go out and vote on November 4th. Voting on Election Day makes a difference in Washington, D.C. and at home. Go to nativenews.net for more information. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Welcome to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. The November national election is just a few weeks away. And are you tired of the political ads yet? Well, today we're talking about elections. But we promise you won't hear any of those political ads. Instead, we want to focus on women in politics. And right now, there are no Native American women in the U.S. Senate or House of Representatives. But Native American women are serving in state government, as town mayors, and as tribal leaders. And today, we'll hear from some women who are running for office this year and others who are currently serving in an elected position. And would you like to see more Native women in politics? And what do you think is the value in having women serve in elected positions at the tribal, state, or federal level? Join our conversation today by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us now here in Studio 49 is Deborah Holland, and she is a Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor of New Mexico. And Deborah is from Laguna Pueblo, and many people know her as Deb. I want to go ahead and welcome her to the hour. Welcome to Native America Calling, Deborah.
Thank you, Tara. Gwatsi hopa. Hello, everyone.
And would you like me to call you Deb?
Sure.
All right. And Deb, you know, let's start with this. You know, how did you get into politics?
Well, it started out that I realized that, you know, something I could help with the political process is to get Indian people out to vote. So for many elections, I've been traveling the state working to get out the Native vote. I feel that Indians in New Mexico are underrepresented. You know, we didn't have an opportunity to vote until 1948. Native Americans living in their respective communities could not vote in state elections until a man called Miguel Trujillo sued the state of New Mexico and won that right for our people. And I just feel very passionate that we should have a say in who our elected officials are. So I hit the road during many elections and hit the phones and started working on getting Indian people out to vote. And in 2012, we got out close to 60% of voters in Indian country, and that was something we were very proud of. So that just naturally turned into me running for office, I guess.
And so what's it like to be on this side of things, especially during a voting season?
Well, you know, my heart is in the field. I wish I could knock on more doors and make more phone calls. It's a hard thing when you really know. You know, I love talking to people. I love talking to voters. And, you know, my time is limited in that respect. However, I do stop at our field offices and make phone calls with the phone bankers from time to time. But certainly, you know, I'm able to, you know, talk to more people. You know, I talk at rallies. I talk at meet and greets. We do all kinds of things where we can reach voters and let them know how important this election is and that we want them to get out and vote.
All right. And again, today we are talking about women in politics, you know, running for election. Are there any folks from your community who are going to be on the ballot? And what do you think about that? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you can find us on social media, too. We're on Twitter and Facebook. And Deb, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the roots that you do connect to when it comes to your own community. You know, do women hold political office?
At Laguna Pueblo, women can hold certain political offices. However, it's still not, I mean, there are still, women are still the minority. I think we have a couple women in our tribal council right now. And occasionally, you know, a woman will get nominated to run for one of the other secretary, tribal treasurer, something like that. However, we are still in the minority. It's not something that we're certainly in lower numbers than the men. And, you know, we're a matrilineal society at our Pueblo culture, we're a matrilineal society. However, since the Spanish came in the late 1500s, you know, that things kind of changed with gender roles. And if you think about it, on Pueblos, we have governors, lieutenant governors, mayrumas, fiscales. Those are all Spanish terms. And so, you know, we have been influenced by the Spanish political model. And so, you know, I thought if I don't have an opportunity to serve my own community, I wanted an opportunity to serve people of New Mexico. If you feel like you have something to offer and you really want to help people, then, you know, I just felt like I had to do something about that. So here I am.
All right. And it's our pleasure to have you sharing that with us today. And again, our phone lines are open. You can call us 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And, you know, when voting season comes around, you know, do you get excited to see more women on the ballot? What about Native women? Call us right now, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Or if you've ever run for office, you know, what kind of lessons did you learn? Call us right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. And we're going to bring in another voice because we're going to continue to hear from more women in politics today. And joining us now from the Seneca Nation in Salamanca, New York, is Darlene Miller. She is a tribal council member, and she is also a candidate for the Seneca Nation presidency. Welcome to Native America Calling, Darlene.
Yeah, we're scanning. Go, go, go. Greetings to everyone.
And Darlene, great to be connecting with you. And, you know, same question that we started off with Deb. You know, how did you get into politics?
Well, politics for me started at an early age. I was the tribal clerk when I was 30 years old, and I had two gentlemen mentors and two elder female mentors who introduced me to politics and how to be a great leader. So as time went on, and I did serve my term as a clerk and also as a peacemaker judge in the judicial. Along the way, I decided that I was going to go to the health field. So I spent 20 years in the health system for our nation. And as time being in that position, there was a lot of times that I felt that healthcare should rise to the top. So in my efforts to join the political circle, I decided that just observing and being a spiritual leader for our people, I learned through the years that, you know, our biggest asset are our people, our land and our language. So some of the motivation for me was that our language, our fluent speakers are not, we don't have an abundance. So to me, that was a priority. So as time went on, I talking with different individuals and mentors, I decided that there was one way to have the voice of the health and have the voice of the people, and that was to engage in the political circle, and I was elected for the tribal council. Serving tribal council for 4 years, I learned even more. I listened to the people and what their needs are, what it is that they see as a priority and what they want for their nation, and not just today but tomorrow. We always have to think seven generations ahead, but we learn by what has happened in seven generations past. So those are some of the reasons why I'm here today. And then why I decided that I think it's time, because this year Seneca Nation celebrated 50 years. The women have had the right to vote So it just seems appropriate. And I've talked to many individuals, elders, and the young people, and I feel real strongly that they feel it's time for a female, a woman, because the women are the backbone of our society. We are a matrilineal nation. And so those are my reasons. And I think that in many ways, women bring and keep families together. So I think that I will be that person, and I'll be that leader, and also leave a message for our children that if you believe in yourself, you can do the things that you set your mind to.
All right, Darlene. And, you know, those are wonderful reasons. And if there are any folks from the Seneca Nation who are listening today, call in and what you think. You know, are you also celebrating 50 years of the vote for Native women? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And let's go ahead and go to the lines. We have Clarina on the line in Fort Belknap, Montana. She's tuned in on KGVA. And Clarina, what do you think?
Well, this is my second time running as a House District 32 representative. The last time that, the only time I ran, I really was reluctant to run, and then I had some people that recommended me to run, and my heart really wasn't in it because I just finished graduate school, and I told them, I don't want to run. I said, I just got done with this grueling part of my life, and so I ran. You know, I only won by 3 votes because I wasn't really that organized, but I remember talking to the creator about it, and I thought, well, if you want me to be there, I'll be there. So I won by 3 votes. My opponent asked for a revote and won a recount, and when they did the recount, I still won by 3 votes.
Wow. And I'm seeing a big smile here in Studio 49 on Deb's face. And Deb, what do you think about what Clarina just shared?
Well, it just is a testament to the fact that every single vote counts. And I love that you won by 3 votes. I think that's totally awesome. You know, we midterm elections are tough for us because, you know, people kind of check out. Presidential elections, we get a really high voter turnout. But midterm elections, sometimes people just, it doesn't matter to me. But, you know, local elections are like, in a way, far more important than the presidential elections because those are the folks that are, you know, voting on our roads and our bridges and you know, giving capital outlay funds to underrepresented communities that really need infrastructure. And so I love that you won by 3 votes. And quite frankly, I'd be happy to win by 3 votes, too.
I worked on Get Out the Vote almost 18 years. And while I was working at the tribe as well as the college, I'm currently the dean of students at Ani Nakota College. But I also helped establish KGVA radio station. I was hired back in 1995 to get the radio station on air. It was a long time ago. But I have a really rich background in leadership positions here and in other places as well. But I want to tell you, in Montana, we have more Native American legislators than any other state in the United States. And so I'm pretty proud of that. And that we've gotten those positions because they did the redistricting because someone stood up and said, this isn't right, you know, what was going on, because the way the current system was set up, that we would never win no matter what. And so they did the redistricting, and so I'm happy to say that. And we stick pretty close together, the legislators. We work on bills together. We were able to get a Native American language bill through. We were able to get funding as a permanent budget for non-beneficiary funding for tribal colleges. And we were able to get some of our Indian economic development funded fully at $800,000. They were going to cut it at one time. So I wanted to say also that we have a good record in our community. During the presidential election, that's true. A lot of people vote, then when it's an off year, they usually don't. But Gerald Stifarm did a really good job in our area, and I think he got 85% of the people to vote in our area. But we organized. I'm not just saying it's Gerald Stifarm alone, but he's really good at organizing things. He's a KGVA radio station manager as well. But we have a wide area here. We're really isolated and rural, and so we go from one end of the reservation to the agency, the northern part of the reservation, try to pick people in each one of those communities that we know that are going to motivate people to vote. And I remember calling in one time, and they were asking me about using Facebook to campaign on Facebook, and that is really good to do, except when you talk to the older women in our communities, and they have a lot of say about how their children vote, or the older or grandpa and grandma, those are the ones that you have to use the radio station to contact, go visit them at their homes, and go door-to-door like this previous lady that was you were talking to talked about.
And Clarina, you know, it's interesting to just hear about how the process works and, you know, where places people really get their information. Or, you know, if you aren't in a certain area, then maybe you aren't reaching a certain, age range. And so, Deb, any thoughts on that about, if you are running for office, just maybe things you do have to learn that or reconsider in a different way when it comes to getting the message out? I also want to thank Clarina for her call. Go ahead, Deb.
Sure. No, well, in Indian country, it's, it's specifically challenging because a lot of folks still don't have addresses in the voter file. So you do have to go door to door. And it helps, you know, I've worked on Navajo country a lot to get votes out, and that's wonderful. I love it. I love going door to door. But you always need to take somebody that speaks the language with you so that you can reach, you know, the elderly folks who don't speak English. And so, you know, it's all you got to consider, you know, where they're coming from, their cultural values and things like that. And just, you know, go in it with respect for the community and the people there and with a genuine interest in helping them to participate, because their future and the future of their kids and their grandkids depends on, to a large part, who is in office. Because the state, the tribes have to have a relationship with the state in order to get the things done that they need to get done. So I always, and the message is a little different for young folks. Yeah, you know, younger folks are on Facebook and Twitter, so you can reach them by social media. But the old folks, they need personalized attention, I think.
All right. Well, we're learning a little bit about the political process. It is voting season. We're also talking with Native women who are running for elected office this year. And, you know, when you think about your own tribe, has your tribe ever had a female president or maybe a governor? And how have women traditionally served in leadership roles in your tribe? And how does that compare to who's on the ballot or who is, leading your tribe? Call us right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We have another caller we're going to bring in. Rochelle is in Porcupine, South Dakota. She's tuned in on KILI. Rochelle, what would you like to share with us?
Good morning. I would just like to, I think this is a great topic, especially considering that it is election time. And here in South Dakota, we just finished our tribal elections, and there have been many women on the ballots. Right now for state elections, I believe we have two women that are, one's running for governor, the other's running for state representative, and we also have a Lakota woman that is running for state representative for District 27 here in South Dakota. I believe it's very empowering, and I just hope that it wakes up our younger generation. We do have, our civics courses. We have, a lot of the tribal law, tribal government within our college center. So I just hope that our children wake up and realize that they do have a voice, because after we're all gone, this is left up for them. And I believe I have been actually doing a lot of voter registration within the tribe and the state, and just trying to get the vote out to wake people up to realize that they do have a voice, that their issues are important, and that we can build better communication within the state and the tribal government bodies. So,
All right, Rochelle, thank you for your call there in Porcupine, South Dakota, tuned in on Keeley Radio. And Darlene, you know, what do you think about what she just shared?
I think I agree with her. The young people need to understand how critical every election is and how they need to be involved, and they need to listen and pay attention to the issues that are hand that face that impact them and maybe their, you know, someone in their family, in their communities. Sometimes we get wrapped up into the daily what's happening, and sometimes it's nice to remind them that, you know, take some time, step back, and remember about families, tradition, and your culture. And as Native people, it's our responsibility to take care of one another. So everyone has to take that responsibility. And I know that I have been an advocate for getting our Senecas to register to vote and how important their voice is in the elections, not just tribally, but outside of our borders.
And Darlene, do you ever specifically, you know, put the message out to Native women that, you know, their vote also needs to be in there?
Oh, yes. Yes, we have actually this Sunday we are having a celebration of women's gathering, and we invited 1,000, we sent out 1,000 invitations, and we have some panelists, and we hope to reach all of the younger generations to come out, the women, and listen and participate and be part of this empowering circle.
All right. And Deb, for you, anything you want to add? We're about a minute away from break.
No. Well, I certainly agree that the youth need to get involved. I know there, you know, this year there's a presidential election on the Navajo Nation, and that seems to be really waking the youth up there. Just from social media that I can gather, the top two candidates who will, you know, the folks will be getting out to vote for. It's really amazing how many young people, both campaigns are really engaging. So I think it's wonderful on the Navajo Nation. And, of course, we're certainly hopeful that we'll do the same out here. We plan on holding a lot of events at UNM and getting the students involved. So that's always a good thing if you can get the youth involved, yes.
All right. And again, our phone lines are open. We want to hear from you, too. And, you know, how much do you think gender plays a role in the political process? Do you think a female Native candidate could be elected to an elected position in your state? You know, what about your city or county? We want to hear from you. Give us a call. And what do you think about this? Many of our communities are matrilineal, but not all of them are led by women. What do you think about that? How does that compare to what you were taught and who the leaders are in your community? We want to hear from you. We are celebrating Native women in politics today, and we got some on the line with us. If you got a question for them, you can call in to ask, and we'll be right back after this break. But phone lines are going to remain open, so give us a call. You may be seeing more pink ribbons right now and pink things for sale. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Are women getting the information they need about breast cancer? Are Native women getting the care and treatments they need? Join us as we talk about fighting breast cancer on the next Native America Calling.
Hey, hi, ya. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Oh, ho, hey, hi, ya. Hey, ya, hi, ya. Hey, ya, hi, ya. Hey, ha, hey, hi, ya. Hey, 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 hi, ya, ya. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Oh, ho, hey, hi, ya. Hey, ya, hi, ya. Hey, ya, hi, ya. Hey, ha, hey, hi, ya. Hey, 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 hi, ya, ya. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Oh, ho, hey, hi, ya. Hey, ya, hi, ya. Hey, ya, hi, ya. Oh.
Darlan gold, jimoho kuluguyut, bijikaya got, guskok fame, guik beam through a wat digni, jalang nako rashata kaingagun.
Built by Native Business for Native Business, the Native American Contractors Association B2B Conference and Expo, November 10th to 12th. Participants engage in discussion, build contacts, get federal contracting training, and business development. Registration at nativecontractors.org.
Our democracy is a government of the people, for the people. Let's keep it that way. Vote on November 4th. Get registered, cast your vote. It's that simple. More information at nativenews.net. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Thanks for joining us today here on Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and we are talking about Native women running for elected office today. And our guests are currently running for tribal and state positions and are already, some of them are already in office. And we'd like to see more Native women on the ballot in the next election. And we want to know, what do you think about that? Tell us why. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And you can also post your thoughts on our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/Native America Calling. And you can send us a tweet. We tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE, which is also the number, to get into our conversation. And joining us here today in Studio 49 is Deborah Holland, and she is the Democratic nominee for New Mexico Lieutenant Governor. Also with us from New York is Darlene Miller. She is a candidate for the Seneca Nation President, and she's also serving on the council. And we want to hear from you, too. Phone lines are open. Let's go straight to them. We're going to bring in a caller. We have Leah in Helena, Montana, and she's tuned in. Leah, what would you like to share? All right. Call us back, Leah. We want to hear from you, wondering what you're thinking about today. Again, phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. And Darlene, what do you think about that statement that we put out before the break? Many of our communities are matrilineal, but not all of them are led by women. What do you think, Darlene?
Well, I think that in the last 30 years, Native women have slowly entered some of the topmost leadership. So I think that, you know, again, I go back to it's time. We see them rising to the top. We see them being noticed. We see them working harder. And I just think that it's a good balance, you know, when our tribal council has men and women. And they've had men and women for a number of years. But this election, not only am I running as a female for the presidency, but I also have an executive clerk and treasurer, so we will be a three-women executive branch of government, which is a little bit unique. But I just feel that probably not just because of the Senecas, but I think across Indian country, it's kind of the trend.
All right. Thanks for that. Deb, any thoughts?
I think that's awesome. Three women, executive branch of government. You know, the thing about having a women's perspective is we just, you know, I took this political leadership training course. It's called Emerge New Mexico here in New Mexico for Democratic women. And we had a statistic during one of my classes that said a man only needs to be asked to run for office once and a woman needs to be asked seven times. So, you know, when a woman thinks about running for office, she doesn't just think about her own political future. She thinks about her family. She thinks about her mother. She thinks about her father. She thinks about her community. And how can I fit all of these things into and still fulfill my obligations to the, you know, my family and the things that I really need to pay attention to? So it is a tough decision for us when we decide to get into office or at least try. But I think it's, you know, it speaks volumes that when a woman does decide to do that, that she, you know, has the confidence and feels like she has the ability to juggle all those things, run for office, and have an opportunity to be a good leader for her community.
All right. Thanks for that, Deb. And again, you can join the conversation, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Cliff in Yakima, Washington. He's tuned in on KYNR. Cliff, what do you think?
My name is Cliff Jim, and I live on the Yakima Reservation. I think that the ladies should stay home and take care of their families and think of their family tree and take care of their homes. We have a lot of three-fourths of our women here are renting a reservation, and we're not doing anything for our people. They're thinking of their own betterment. They should better their own homes and take care of their families.
All right, Cliff, thank you for your opinion. And I want to give both of our guests a chance to respond your thoughts on what Cliff shared. Go ahead, start us off, Deb.
Sure. No, I do have obligations with my family, and I still live up to those even though I'm running for office. My daughter currently is 20 years old. She's a junior at UNM on the lottery scholarship, I'll add. And I have one child that I raised. She's terrific. I'm not sacrificing anything to run for office. I feel that by running for office that I could have a larger positive influence, or, you know, I could do more positive things for a larger, you know, broader spectrum of people. So I'm at a time in my life where I don't have to worry a lot about, you know, a child at home. And my mother's only a half an hour away, so I can go visit her, you know, three or four times a week and make sure she's doing okay. So I live up to my cultural obligations as well. So I'm not too worried that I'm neglecting anything at this point in my life. Thank you.
All right. And Darlene, anything you'd like to add?
Yes, I would just like to add that as a spiritual leader, I believe that if it's possible that the women stay home and they do be the caretakers, but there comes a point in time in their life where they feel that they can contribute to whatever it is out there, and that should be their choice, and they will make sure that the balance is there in their lives. And being a mother, a grandmother, a sister, a daughter, we know it's something that's part of us. The Creator gave us that gift. So I feel that most women will always put their family first before others.
And Darlene, does that question or that kind of view, does it ever get posed to men when they're running? You know, does anybody ever ask them, why are you running? There's kids at home. You know, what do you think, Darlene?
I don't really know if they are asked that question, but I can tell you, I can share this with you. When, as being the leader in this campaign, I asked many gentlemen to run for office, and it brings a smile to my face because the response was, let me ask my wife. I'll get back to you.
All right. Well, Darlene, we do appreciate you sharing with us. And again, all calls are welcome. All thoughts on this issue, we want to hear from you. All you have to do is dial in 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go over to Helena, Montana, and we're bringing in another caller. We have Leah on the line. And Leah, I understand you're also running for office. And what do you think about our conversation today? Hello, Leah. All right. Try us one more time. Maybe you'll get out of that canyon and your phone will work. Again, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines again. This time we are going to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we are bringing in James. He's connecting to us through KUNM Radio. James, your thoughts.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Deborah, you and I actually come from the same stomping ground, so I'm really happy to see that you're running, and I'm very excited to vote for you this November. And I want to tell all the listeners that I've seen firsthand that elections in New Mexico get really nasty, just really brutal with attack ads, and they're just absolutely vicious. So I wanted to know how you feel about those ads as a female and a Native American, and more specifically, I suppose, for my own edification, I'd like to know what you think about the attack ads focusing on Bill Richardson, because I thought he was a great governor, especially for our tribal communities. And I wanted to know kind of what how you feel all of those things come together in your election.
All right, James, thanks for your call here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And Deb, go ahead.
Thank you, James. So certainly the attack ads are, you know, the attack ads are meant to suppress voter turnout. So that's the sole purpose of any attack ad. So I always tell people just turn the channel or turn the radio off until it's over. And unfortunately, the governor's race is especially bad because there is a huge discrepancy in campaign funding. So Governor Martinez has $4 million and Attorney General King does not have that much money. So it's easy when you have a lot of money to just, you know, barrage the people of New Mexico with attack ads. It's also unfortunate that a lot of those attack ads are not true or they misrepresent the truth. And so folks are left with, you know, either the task of researching what those attack ads have said or altogether just saying, you know, I'm not going to deal with this. So I can tell you that the attack ads from the Martinez camp are definitely misrepresenting the truth and are outright lies, which is unfortunate. And also, I just want folks to forge ahead and realize that we should be talking about what we're going to do for people, talking in a positive light, what we feel the future of New Mexico would be like under our administration, not, you know, disparaging the other side. So, you know, in New Mexico, the big issues are jobs, the economy, and education. And so those are things that we've been talking about a great deal. Governor Bill Richardson has responded back to Susana Martinez about her ads. I agree with you. He was wonderful for tribes. He paid attention to us. He had, you know, he had probably more tribal members in state government than any other governor. He also elevated our Department of Indian Affairs to a cabinet level position so that, you know, our Indian Affairs secretary would have a seat at the table. And so I admire him for everything he did. I also know that he created 80,000 jobs when he was governor for our state, something that the current governor has not done. So thank you, and I appreciate you delving deeper into that issue.
All right, again, phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's try Leah one more time. She is in Montana. Leah, are you there?
Good morning. This is Leah Whitford. I hope to stay online here for a little bit. I'm currently serving as a state representative for House District 16, and I'm running for a Senate position, Senate District 8 in North Central Montana. It's been an honor to be able to serve my area and the people there. I look forward to listening to the people in the next session, some of the things that we were able to accomplish. I know Clarina Brocky was on, and she touched on that, was the Indian Language Preservation bill that was able to get passed and funded. Currently sitting in and on a meeting that is talking about that particular project and how successful it's been, and what we need to continue to do to advocate that we can continue operating and offering this particular project on the state level. We're
right.
Talking about economic development in Indian Country as far as what type of funding we can provide for our entrepreneurs and small businesses in Indian Country. Again, it's so important that the people get out there and vote.
And you know, those are some issues that you know, I'm also wondering, you know, from our listening audience, when we do think about election season, you know, are you looking at candidates and their issues? You know, do you vote because where, you know, because of their stance on a certain issue. And again, you know, our phone lines are open, 1-800-99-NATIVE. I want to thank Leah for giving us a call there in Montana. And, you know, to hear more about how issues matter, I want to bring in another voice on the line from Oklahoma. We have Oklahoma State Representative Lisa Johnson-Billy. She is Choctaw and Chickasaw. And I want to welcome her to our talking circle. And Lisa, can you comment on how important issues are when it comes to running, you know, or, you know, getting your name on the ballot? Go ahead, Lisa.
Halito Chokma, thank you for the opportunity. Absolutely. I think as women, as Native women, we have to put our voices out there. Our stories are important and they need to be told. And we have to put our names on the ballot oftentimes to provide those opportunities for our stories to be heard.
And for you, Lisa, when it comes to issues, you know, are there certain issues that, you know, you see Native women running with, you know, when they do throw their name in the hat?
I'm not sure that I've seen specific issues. In the state of Oklahoma, there just truly have not been a lot of those voices. One of my tribal elders, Chickasaw elder, who's passed on now, named Helen Cole, and she ran for the House of Representatives years ago and then ran for the Senate. And I think what's important now, when I was elected in 2004, I initiated a Native American caucus. So it's primarily men. And it has been primarily men at those tables. And we have to, as Indian women, allow our voices to be heard. We have to be active. But in order to do that, we have to listen to the people who sent us to the state capitol. And as we listen to their stories and relate to those, then we're able to implement change and implement policy and drive that policy at the state capitol. And it's a difficult challenge. It is not easy to do these things, but we have to be women of courage, and we have to face those obstacles regardless of whether we think we're going to win or not. We have to continue to push those ideas and implement policy and change, and we're seeing that in the state of Oklahoma. Our Native caucus, we've been able to implement and lead a lot of changes from we have a Native language bill. I authored that this year. A couple of years ago, we did a tribal jurisdiction bill, and we've done a lot of things over the past, and it's a bipartisan caucus, and it's been very effective, but we still have a lot to do.
All right, Lisa, we got another caller we're going to bring in. Again, you can also connect with us. Send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE on Twitter. Let's go to Curtis. He is in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. Curtis, what do you think?
Well, just first of all, I'd like to say thank you for having me on. And my comment here would be, you know, I'm really proud of the women stepping up, especially, you know, in the race here. You know, I'm happy for my auntie. She just got done running for Fort Fine District here, Mary Horse Felicia. And I just want to say, you know, I'm proud of the women for stepping up. And they've come a long way from where it was back in the day where women didn't have the right to vote or they didn't have a voice and they weren't able to stand up. So that would just be my comment.
All right, Curtis, thanks for your call there in Pine Ridge. And Lisa, you know, what about in your community? Help us, you know, get a view into your tribes. You know, what does leadership look like in your two tribes? You know, are there women leaders?
Certainly. Well, and in my house district that I represent, I'm the first woman and first Native woman elected. In my tribe, both of my tribes, Chickasaw and Choctaw, are matrilineal tribes. In the Chickasaw Nation, I served my tribal council back when I was in my 20s, and it was predominantly women. And Governor Anitubby has always had women in his executive cabinet positions. In the Choctaw Nation, our council is currently comprised of all men. However, our chief, he has a lot of women serving as his executive team, as his administrators. It's very important that those voices are heard, and certainly in both of our tribes, they're available. They are there, and the tribal leaders in the highest position of governor or chief, we've not yet seen a woman elected to those particular positions.
And so, Lisa, when it comes down to it and you think about it, I think we're really taking a closer look at it with the show today. You know, does gender matter when it comes to politics?
Well, it's interesting. I think gender will always be an issue, but as women, my time being home, raising my children, that actually allowed me a little bit of an advantage that I was not aware of until I started knocking doors, because I was always, my husband and I have always been involved in community activities, volunteerism, as well as our three children. And that actually came back to be a very positive opportunity where I would knock a door and someone would say, oh, you and your husband, you know, led this, or your son played the flute at my event, or your other son did storytelling. There was always some type of connection. But it's still very interesting that we are constantly, as women, ask the question, well, what about your children? I've never heard, just in my limited opportunity of serving, I've never heard someone ask a man, well, what about your children? And so it's as if, as a woman, if we step out to run, that somehow we're saying, I'm only going to be an elected official. I won't take care of my family. That's not true at all. It's not true for men. Should we assume that's true for men? Certainly not. There are very amazing men who serve and do both, and the same for women. In fact, I personally think women can do a better job. I feel very strongly that as a mom, I'm trying to run my household and take care of selfish attitudes, and I want, and he said, and she said, and we're constantly breaking up arguments. I think that lends well in serving in an elected position.
All right. Thanks for that, Lisa. We have another caller we're going to. Evan is on the line in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Evan, what would you like to add?
I'd just like to add that women having power in their lives and power in the community is a life and death issue. Whether we look at it from Afghanistan, whether we look at it in Native America, women have been the ones who've been there for the family and for the community. And to not take the power they have, they should have, literally will affect their lives as well as the upbringing of their daughters and their sons.
All right, Evan, thank you for your call. Deb, what do you think about Evan's thought?
You know, and also in conjunction with what Lisa said, with being a Puebla woman, there are clear roles that both men and women serve, different roles that men serve, different roles that women serve. I feel, and you know, I'm also think about the strong women in my life who brought me to the place I am today. My grandmother is one of them. My mother is one of them. My grandmother out at Laguna, she was tough. She was strong physically and mentally. And, you know, she's the one that I used to drive out to the sheep camp with. And you know, she did everything for herself. She drove a great big blue GMC truck with a stick shift and all that stuff till she was 80-some years old. And so nothing ever got in her way of her mission, of what she had to do. And in spite of a lot of adversities early on in her life, she had to go to Catholic boarding school and all of those things. So, so certainly I believe that women play a huge role. And I like what Lisa said about, you know, breaking up fights between kids at home, arguments and so on and so forth. We're so cut out for public service, it's not even funny with the experiences that we've had. So I think that, you know, we're still a minority in any political atmosphere. And I would really love to see more women run for office, women who care about people and have compassion, of course.
And Darlene, when we think about it, when a Native woman is leading a community, whether it be her own tribal community, a state community, or, you know, they're leading the nation, you know, how do you think that that changes things in the community when a woman is running things? What do you think, Darlene?
I think when the community sees a woman step up, they feel comfort, they feel security, they feel someone who cares, someone who will listen to what they have to say. And I think I agree with both of these women and what they said about being strong, learning values at an early age, and passing that on. As Natives, that's part of our culture. and that's part of who we are, regardless of what the name of our nation is.
All right, thanks, Darlene. Lisa, what would you like to add?
I think that it's so important, agreeing with the other two women here that are doing something. We have to continue to listen to the needs, and we have to step up and step out and serve in our communities, whether it's library boards, school boards, or city council. We have to let our voices be heard. Let our stories be told. We have to continue to excel in the face of great difficulty. For an example, for our children, we have to. I love what Howard Rayner used to say to me. No one can keep you off the honor roll when you are making straight A's. I love the example that I've had the opportunity to personally see women like Margot Gray and Helen Cole and Wilma Mankiller and Evelou Russell, who faced great danger and difficulty, but they continued to be involved. They did not let any negative comment or lie or gossip about them push them off the destiny that they carved out so the next generation can continue to let our stories be told.
And Lisa, you know, maybe they're not on the ballot today, but they're out there listening and may be on the ballot in the future. Any advice to other Native women who are interested in, you know, running for office down the road?
Absolutely. Get involved in your local community and start finding out if you're not aware of what the needs are. Find out what your local needs are and then begin looking for solutions. Look for people who can provide resources and have a voice at the table. Be present, be available, be accountable. You have to show up if you want to have your voice heard. And I think that's so important that we show up.
All right. And Deb, we got a quick moment. Anything you want to add to that?
Oh, gosh, she's pretty much said it all. I mean, you certainly need to get involved. And you know, I just feel like a lot of women I know that are running for office, and we have some awesome women here in New Mexico who are running this time around. You know, to me, it is selflessness. It's really wanting to put community first and making sure that our kids are taken care of and doing all that stuff. So when you go out there and you decide to get involved, do it from a place that you know and that you feel comfortable with. You care about your community, and that's why you're doing what you're doing.
All right. I think that's a great way to wrap up the hour. I want to appreciate all the folks who joined us today through your phone calls and also our guests. Thanks to Deborah Holland, also Darlene Miller and Lisa Johnson-Billy. And we are inviting you back again tomorrow as we talk about breast cancer. And have you or a woman in your life been screened for it? And, you know, what was the process like? We'll talk more about that tomorrow. You can get at us, send us your thoughts, send us an email at comments@NativeAmericaCalling.com. And thanks to our staff, our crew, our executive producer, Sarah Gustavus. Happy Bosses Day. Also, our senior producer, Monica Brain, Andy Murphy, and also Stephen Emmons. Thank you for connecting with us and helping get this great program going. Also, thanks to Antonia Gonzalez, anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. We'll be back tomorrow.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.